Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day. Thanks for kicking it off with us here at WFHR, locally grown radio. It is 9:05 on the clock. Got your host, James Jam, joined by Seth Habager.
Good morning, everyone.
We got fun things lined up for you this hour. We're going to get into a little bit of entertainment news. Mm-hmm. We're also going to touch on some good stories of the day. We got some other fun, interesting stuff we're going to get into as well. How many Big Macs people have eaten and some stuff like that.
Okay.
We'll see where we can go with that. So some of those kind of things coming up. Right now, well, I've been sitting on this article for a couple of days, Seth, and I wanted to see get your take on this one.
All right.
Rolling Stone put together a list of the 50 worst decisions in music history. We have the top 10, or well,
okay.
the worst 10, maybe.
The worst 10,
say,
maybe? Yeah,
say,
let's go with that.
So we could start at the right at the top here. I think that's
okay.
A good place
let's
to go.
Let's do it.
And again, this comes from Rolling Stone magazine, and number one on the list is the Rolling Stones. That's kind of funny.
That is hilarious.
When the Rolling Stones hired the motorcycle club Hell's Angels to do security at their 1969 concert at Alamut Speedway, it resulted in the death of a fan who was stabbed by a member. It has gone down in history as one of the worst decisions in music history.
Yes, yes, indeed. And there's, you know, it's funny that the whole situation was kind of a bust. I've heard interviews with like the Grateful Dead and other groups that said, you know, we were just planning on doing this. They wanted to kind of have a Woodstock West Coast.
Yes.
Is kind of what it was. And basically the Rolling Stones invited themselves.
Yeah.
And they said, we're just going to throw, and they wanted to film it, which is, it ended up in the film Gimme Shelter, the documentary. But the whole reason is they wanted to put that in the documentary. Well, they got a lot more than they bargained for. I'll just say that. So
I've never really heard any of the members talk about this. Mm. I have heard Keith Richards say about the issue this that ego got in the way, that their egos got in the way with this.
Yeah.
And I think that's the closest I've heard to any ownership of this situation. I'm not saying that they haven't. I just haven't seen it. I'm not saying it doesn't exist. It might be out there.
Right.
And I don't think that we look at, you know, the Stones, Mick Jagger, and Keith Richards in particular as egomaniacs necessarily. I never thought of them that way. I think we hear more about John and Paul about that than we do.
Yeah,
most.
We do. Yeah.
I don't want to say it like they've never spoken on this. I've just never really heard it. I would like to hear what their thoughts on this one.
Yeah, and I mean, the whole situation was just bad. I mean, earlier in the day, Marty Balin, who was the lead singer for Jefferson Airplane, they actually knocked him the Hell's Angels knocked him unconscious during his set. I mean, a bad idea to get them. I mean, there was this weird, in the late 60s, this weird romanticizing of like the biker gangs.
Well,
I don't know why.
They were
dangerous.
I mean, I don't know if it happened before, but it certainly got engulfed by the Dennis Hopper, Peter Fonda.
Oh, Easy Rider.
Easy Rider.
Yeah, exactly.
If it didn't happen before that, Easy Rider put it on a whole
It was right on the same time, right? 69,
right.
Yeah, same time.
It really set this whole thing, and it romanticized a lot of that.
Yeah.
It's not to say, there are. It also put a black eye on biker gangs because not all biker gangs are evil or dark or anything like that. There's a lot of them out there. We've had a lot of them join us on the air here.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of different programs and organizations they help out and everything.
But this was a specific group that had a history of violence that, they should have known better.
This has been a long time thing where biker gangs have tried to be mobs. Basically.
Yep. Drug dealers, they've done illicit things. Yep, broke the law. Yep.
Again, that doesn't mean that
all of them
are like that and everything.
No, it's not.
Especially this one in particular has been known for that. But even they have grown in the years since.
They've changed. It's
a lot
true.
Has changed. Yep. A lot has changed since then. Number two on this list, Jerry Lee Lewis marries his 13-year-old cousin in 1958.
Oh, Jerry Lee.
I would like to think that we don't have to go too in-depth on this one, or what was wrong. I don't even know what you pick in that sentence. The fact that she was 13, the fact that it was his cousin. I don't care. And I know Jerry Lee fans are going to, you know, but it was his second or third cousin. I don't care.
She was 13.
Do they have the same place to go for a family reunion?
Yeah.
When you are getting married, is there just one side of the aisle filled? That seems wrong. wrong. That seems like, okay, something here is wrong.
Oh, no. That's just, that's so wrong.
I will say, Jerry Lee Lewis, really one of the early examples of, hey, can you separate the man from the work?
It's true.
Can you separate the work from the man? Can you, vice versa? Either way, you look at that. I think that a lot of us can look at Jerry Lee Lewis and say he was a game changer. The way that he, just simply his playing style.
His performing,
let alone the hits that he had, the live performances he did. He put rock and roll on a different level.
Yes.
Long before Jimi Hendrix set his guitar on fire, Jerry Lee Lewis was literally setting
his
piano on fire.
He was smashing his piano. Yeah. He was doing all kinds of crazy stuff.
As a kid, I loved watching like little bits of footage of him and everything. I'd never seen anybody like him. He was truly a madman. He was I loved watching him. And then I found out about the man he was.
Yeah.
And it was one of those things as a young adult that you have to start balancing, like, can I listen to his music and enjoy it or not? And I think that's a case by case thing as we go on here.
It is,
and the more we learn about our heroes and our artists and stuff, the more we realize, you got to be able to walk that line.
And we also have to remember too, they were human.
Exactly,
they have foibles, they have flaws, just like anyone.
I never feel comfortable putting my moral compass on somebody else.
Yeah, especially a person in history.
Yeah,
that seems not right in a lot of ways.
I will say, though, there are laws. Thank
you. Yes.
And laws against nature, like nature laws, too. You know, have we not learned anything from the royal family? Inbreeding is wrong. I mean, sorry, that was a
cheap shot. But that's okay. I don't mind.
They kind of earned it. And number three on this list, Decca Records passes on signing the Beatles in 1962.
Yeah, that one's a big mistake. Although, to be fair, everyone passed on the Beatles.
Yes.
In fact, EMI passed on the Beatles once.
Yeah.
And then they came back and they said, all right, we'll reluctantly sign you. Well, greatest thing they ever did, of course, because it was the Beatles. I mean, come on.
we found this out in our rock history episode we did a while back. The Beatles passed on David Bowie. The Beatles with Apple Records, one of the first artists to send them a tape.
Yep, that's right.
Was David Bowie, and they just didn't think it's not going to work. So I mean, even they passed on people.
Yeah, it's always a crapshoot with that kind of thing. You never know what's going to happen. And of course, Deck had no clue that the Beatles would be the Beatles. No one did at that point.
These next couple ones are interesting because I think that they also tie into other stories. Eric Clapton goes all in on COVID vaccine conspiracies in 2020. You haven't seen much of him since.
No.
Now, part of the reason for this is because Clapton had spent a lot of time off camera really hurting his career. Mm-hmm. He also spent a lot of time off stage really hurting his career with drugs and alcohol to the point where he can't really play electric guitar anymore. He hasn't been able to. There's a reason he did the Unplugged episode all those years ago and everything on MTV.
Mm-hmm.
He has never tried to, his ego has always gotten in the way of him working with a lot of other great artists like Jeff Beck and some others. Mm-hmm. It's part of the reason why he wasn't able to stay in bands for very long. Mm-hmm. You wonder why Eric Clapton had like 9 different bands he was in and had hits with each one of those bands, because he was incredibly talented, very talented guitar and songwriter.
Yeah.
At the same time, his ego wouldn't be able to fit in this room.
Yeah.
And with that, you have all those things building up, and then you have a man who all of a sudden the pandemic happens, and he has always been a person who believes that there's just, oh, this can't be true, or this can't be real, or whatever. And he's kind of built this in his life.
And it's not surprising. I mean, he's made public statements about immigrants in England as well. He's made really
racist anti-Semitic jerk.
So let's just be honest here.
Talent doesn't make it okay. We're getting better about this as a society, but for way too long, just because you were talented, quote unquote talented, it meant that all of a sudden you can get away with certain things. You could treat people like jerks. You could, you know, the whole thing going back to the quarterback in high school getting away with stuff, and then as this, in society, artists like this getting away with stuff.
Well, and it's very similar to the Jerry Lee Lewis thing. It's very similar. Yeah. You know, they have a certain amount of talent and everything. And we're not saying you can't enjoy an Eric Clapton song. That's not what we're saying. Right. But at the same time, you have to understand where these people are coming from. And if they may have some crazy thing. We don't need to treat them like prophets. They're musicians.
Just treat them like they're human beings.
Exactly.
And don't expect more than that. Exactly. Than a human being.
Yes. Don't put them up on that pedestal because they're bound to fall off.
The only reason they get the only reason they have to fall is because we put them up there. Let's not put them up there.
Excellent point.
And I can while I don't listen to Clapton like I used to, I still will listen to White Room or Can't Find My Way Home or something like that. I tend to focus on the other artists in those songs.
That's how
I work it in my head.
Yeah.
Everybody to each their own.
Yep.
Number five on this list, Woodstock organizers celebrate the festival's 30th anniversary with a horrific riot that was Woodstock 1999.
Yeah, that was this stupid.
Yeah, there's a great documentary on that one.
It's about how dumb that was.
Man, you get a chance to watch that. That was a really good documentary. Number six, Kanye West, or whatever he wants to call himself now, interrupts Taylor Swift at the VMAs in 2009. Boy, that was foreshadowing.
Remember when that was the worst thing he had done?
Yeah.
Oh boy. Sometimes I pine for those days.
Here's the thing, and I'm not saying that. Okay, if you are this level of talent, you can get away with stuff. However, when you're Eric Clapton, when you're Kanye West, and I'm sorry, you're not really that. You're not even the most talented person of your generation, let alone the most talented person with that particular instrument or that particular field. Anybody who knows hip-hop knows that Kanye West is a great producer, finds beats, really good at them. Man can't rap to save his life, literally. Like, if his life depended on it, you see a Ye, Kanye, whatever you want to call yourself nowadays or anything, because the man has never been able to rap. He can barely rhyme as it is. Any time he's showed up on a song with other artists, and there's a theme, he talks about a million other things other than the theme because he can't do it. He can't rap. He's a horrible rapper. And he is not from Chicago. Can we get over this? He's not a Chicagoan. He's from Arlington Heights. He's from Northside. Not even from Chicago. Get over that, man. Yeah, trying to act tough and everything. He ain't even from the city. That's one of the worst things about his career. Let alone all the other stuff he's been doing recently.
No kidding.
Here's an interesting one. I don't think a lot of us, well, certainly you and I weren't alive for, Seth. Blood, Sweat, and Tears go on a tour sponsored by the U.S. government during the Vietnam War.
Ooh, really? Actually, I didn't know about that one.
I don't really, I don't feel comfortable speaking on it too much because I don't know about that.
Yeah, right.
I honestly have not heard about that story before, but that does sound, imagine in 2022, if the government tried to sponsor, insert any band name.
Can you imagine?
For any reason, even the most innocent of reasons, it would be looked at as propaganda. It would be looked at as all these things and stuff. I don't think you could ever get away with something like that again.
And rightfully so. I mean, because, think about it. Like today, I'm trying to think of a contemporary American group or something, something like really ridiculous. Here's
Green Day.
Taylor Swift. Here's Taylor Swift sponsored by the CIA. Wait a minute. Something's not right here. Yeah.
How many people are even showing up to that show? Like,
if it's Taylor Swift. Everybody,
that's
a bad example. But you know what I'm saying? It's like it's like the NSA is supporting this tour kind of thing.
I don't know if it's really a true, like, I don't mean this as, oh man, that's a real shame, but it kind of is. It's kind of a shame, just in the sense that you would think that we would have the kind of relationship with our government the way it should be, where there is a trust. There is a relationship there, a loose one, granted, but still a trust. It is so dwarfed. Going back to the Clapton thing, I have said this on the air many times. I have no problem with people questioning. Question everything.
Yeah, it's okay to be skeptical.
It's very okay. I think it's important to be.
Yep.
I don't. I question everything with the government,
but
I also listen to science. I also do trust our government to a degree.
Right.
Otherwise, what are we doing? Like, if you don't, then what are we doing here?
Yeah.
Why are you a part of democracy? Why are you a part of this? If you don't have any trust or any belief in it, there's plenty of mountains. I don't know if you want to go be a hobbit or a hermit or something.
They've got a lot of open space in Canada. Why don't you?
Right? I don't know. I would never tell anybody to leave.
But I'm just saying, it's like,
if you don't like what's going on, nobody's making you stay. Nobody, and that kind of thing.
Well, and it's the same thing, too. It's it's like if you have no, you know, foot in the, you know, in the game of democracy, then there's something wrong here. You're everyone is supposed to have at least some, you know.
Well, and if you don't agree with things, that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Vote
yeah.
for change.
Exactly.
Vote for it. Be informed and vote for change.
Don't tell me that the system is all corrupt and everything is wrong and we can't do anything. I'm sorry. That's not true. That's,
Number eight, Ja Rule invests in the Fire Festival. Oh, man. Another documentary that you can see. But
that's just...
yeah, that was
you know
bad.
What? I got to say. Anytime a con man like that really rips off a bunch of rich people, I kind of give a little respect
for hard him. It's hard to. Yeah. this whole crypto thing.
Oh, God.
I feel very bad for a lot of the people that are just regular people that invested in this and everything. So I put that as a completely other side thing.
Exactly.
I have no sympathy, no empathy whatsoever for any celebrity that's attached their name to it, including some that I look up to and I like.
Mm-hmm, me too.
I genuinely believe some of them actually need to be held accountable for this stuff. We shouldn't be able to just get away with this stuff anymore. And I'm not saying that they in jail time or something like that. I just
know
in the court of social opinion.
Yeah.
We should not be. And when Matt Damon is promoting his next movie, it should be fair game for the interviewer to ask, hey, Matt, what was with all that crypto stuff that you were telling people to, you
it's
know,
so great. Yeah.
And all this stuff and everything. Yeah.
Yeah.
Should be some. If we expect politicians to have accountability, we got to be able to do it to this, too.
If they're going
to
put their name on it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You're saying that this is a thing and then, oh, whoops, look what happened. You know, it's ridiculous. It's almost like having the World Cup in Qatar.
Yeah.
Oh, whoops.
Oh, it's hard. Anytime you feel bad about any organization or our government or anything else about corruption and all that, compare it to FIFA. And you're going to feel
speaking
a little
of anti-corruption day, right?
Yeah, yeah. You're going to feel a little bit better comparing anything to
FIFA. Yes.
Number nine in this list, YouTube basically forces Apple users to receive their Songs of Innocence album for free.
Yeah. That's dumb.
This backfired horribly. And it's. Now, this is a weird one because any band in the world, hey, we're going to give away our music for free.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. That's awesome. That seems like a really cool thing to be able to do. And then you talk about it being an established band with a huge fan base.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that seems even cooler. The catch is when they force it on your phone, and all of a sudden, thousands of millions of Apple users around the world, their phones aren't working or they're slowed down or something, and they look to see why. Why am I downloading this U2 album that's going to take 5 hours to download? What is this? I don't even like U2. What's going on?
Yeah, exactly. And it's I think it's not a mistake that since that happened, U2 has not been as visible as they once were. And I think there was, and I don't want to rag on U2 because plenty of people do that already. You know, they're very good musicians and there's a lot of the songs that I like and everything, but that was the height of arrogance. I mean, it was the height of arrogance. We're going to give it to everyone. Hey, you want to give music away? Send them to a website. Say, go here, download our music if you want to.
And let's be honest, if you're going to give away free music, give away your greatest hits.
Yes.
I mean, nobody even knows these songs. I mean, this is the equivalent.
That would be something, right?
Being going to a concert to go, I guess, see U2 and you want to see a bunch of stuff from Rattle and Hum or whatever.
Yeah.
And all they do is play, this is from my newest album. You know, and that's all they do.
All they do, yeah.
Number 10 on the list, Maroon 5.
Just Maroon 5.
That's it. Just Maroon 5. No, I'm kidding. I'm joking. I'm just kidding. I'm joking.
That was a good one, though.
Couldn't help myself.
Yeah, I'm, that's a good one.
Number 10 on the list, Nickelback. No, I'm joking. I'm kidding. I'm just kidding. Number 10 on the list is actually Billy Squier when he killed his career with that cheesy music video for Rock Me Tonight. If you don't know what we're talking about, do yourself. If you need a laugh, go ahead and Google Billy Squier Rock Me Tonight music video.
I feel so bad for Billy Squier.
I still genuinely believe it's the worst music video I've ever seen. And I've seen some bad. I grew up in the 80s, man. I know bad music videos.
Bad music videos, man.
You can watch any Flock of Seagulls video, and you're going to see the camera.
You're
going to
see the camera in the mirror. Which is classic. No, I Billy Squire became the butt of every joke. And every I feel kind of bad because it's like, oh,
he was a comet.
He was a comet. Yeah.
He was going to be one of the next big names, one of the next big voices of rock. Oh. He was well known as a great guitar player. Mm-hmm. He actually did it the right way, where he built up, like, in the concert scene, mm-hmm. did a lot of local shows and stuff, and like really built up a fan base.
Had insane hair.
Yes.
Insane hair.
Which you had to have if you wanted to be a successful artist in the 80s.
Yes.
There were no bald successful artists in the 80s.
There were not.
There was Telly Savalas, and that was it.
Even Phil Collins had a little hair left at that point. Yeah,
a little bit of comb over. That was not good. That was. It's crazy to think that something like that could ruin your career. But it's the early days of music videos, and nobody could take him seriously after that. I don't know what, because he's gone on to say, and he's owned this, but he really let the director just kind of like run game on that. And the director has come out and said, "Yeah, I made a mistake. I don't know what I was doing there." There was a big thing back then about rock bands having the sexy model in the video. And so they were trying to do something different than that, and have it be, you know, because sex sells, and all that. So trying to do that, but then like have a model in there. Like if they had just simply had a model in the video with him, I don't know if it would have been as bad. But you've got him throwing himself all over the place. He couldn't dance to save his life. So what did you do asking him to dance? They literally could have just had him on a sound stage playing this song, and it would have been fine.
A lot of videos were like that back then.
His career probably would have been fine. Yeah. Just fine. Never recovered. Other bad decisions include John Lennon saying the Beatles were bigger than Jesus.
He didn't really say that.
He did not really say that.
A little out of context. But anyway.
Yes. Ticketmaster introduces their dynamic pricing system, which was horrible.
That should be up a little higher, in my opinion.
Ticketmaster arguably could be number one on this list.
Yes, because they are the worst. Yeah,
just Ticketmaster.
Yep.
And Elton John goes disco. They say that was a horrible decision, not by his record numbers.
By his sales, no. Yeah, I mean, he sold a lot of records.
I don't necessarily disagree with that, but I would
not say... Not his best music, let's say that.
But I think Elton would counter that with, those sold really good.
I don't know. The duet he did with Kiki D, that's still a pretty good song.
Oh, and you're right. And yeah. I guess that would be considered it.
That's a disco tune for sure.
You can go to rollingstone.com to see the entire list. That was a lot of fun, though.
Oh, man, we could have done the whole list, though.
Really could. There's
but we
so
won't bore you
more.
With that, so...
Maybe that'll be a director's cut episode or something. I don't know.
No one will listen.
We do want to mention one other thing, and then we'll go to Melissa's news here. I did want to mention that premiering tonight. Tonight is opening night for Miracle on 34th Street, the wonderful holiday show from our friends at Wisconsin Rabbits Community Theater. And speaking of our friend Susan Egren brought us all together.
That's right.
She is directing this. Seth's better half, Beth, is going to be on the main stage in this
indeed.
Show. She's one of the lead actors in this show.
You got it.
Got Linda Garsky. Gretchen's in this.
Mike
Egren's in this. Phil Hartley is in this.
Yes.
We got tons of great people. You got your boy in this, too.
Yeah, Anders is there,
Anders
too. Yeah.
Anders is in this.
Yeah.
Such a cool cast.
It's
such
great.
A great one. And I gather that the majority of the audience out there is familiar with Miracle on 34th Street.
The story, yeah.
But you ain't seen it like this, everybody.
Nope.
Susan has a knack for putting her own different touch on things and a different spin on stuff that doesn't take away from the product but gives you something new.
Exactly. You got it.
And she brings something out of actors that not every director can do.
Yep.
She is such a actor's director. Mm-hmm. She really is. And that, combined with the fact of bringing these new people on that have some stuff to them, and then these great veterans of the stage that bring it every single time.
Mm-hmm.
I was talking about John Malkovich earlier. Every one of those actors on that stage, very similar. They're going to bring it. They're going to give you a good show. Let's give them a good crowd. Let's fill up the Centralia Center. Get your tickets at wrctheater.org. Otherwise, you can get them the day of any of these shows. You just show up and the box office will be right there for you to take your money.
That's right.
And we encourage you to do this. Again, Miracle on 34th Street premiering tonight at 7 o'clock. They'll be back on stage tomorrow at 7. Then they'll come back next week on the 15th, 16th, and 17th. On the 17th, along with that 7 o'clock show, there will be a 2 o'clock matinee that Saturday, December 17th.
Yes.
Support local, artists supporting artists. We encourage you to take taking this show and joy. And to the whole cast, to the whole crew, everybody in front of stage, behind the stage,
everybody.
Break a leg.
Break a leg, everyone.
Have a great run, everybody.
Yeah.
We'll take a break right here. We will get to Melissa's news, and then we will come back and we'll have some fun. We'll have more fun. We got some good stories of the day and plenty more coming up for you right here on The Morning Show at WFHR. Oh, that brings back some memories.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
Pencils down and back. It's time to get into Rock History 101.
Yahoo!
Kind of.
Short version here.
Yeah, very short version. But I was talking to Beth about this, and we thought, you know, this would be fun to be able to do when Seth and I get to hang out in the mornings.
Yeah.
We really enjoy doing Rock History 101. We know how much the audience really loved the show.
Yeah.
We did not see that one coming.
No.
Just being honest, we've talked about it before.
Yep.
We didn't know that the audience was going to enjoy the show as much as they did.
Yes, and that was really cool. And I'm glad we were able to do it for as long as we were. So
it was a lot of fun.
It was
a
lot of fun.
We had a blast. And so we'll kind of be able to incorporate a mini version of the show here.
Yep.
When you and I get together.
Yeah, sure. Why not?
So let's kick things off. And to kick things off is actually, well, this gentleman right here. In 1791, composer Peter Joseph von Lindenpainter was born. One of the first of the great composers.
Mm-hmm.
And you can hear why.
And this is a clarinet concerto.
Yes, and in E flat.
In E flat. Just for people who can't hear it.
Right. Well, and for those that don't know, I mean, E flat is so much better than Q flat. Q flat, it sounds horrible. It just does.
I hope my friend John is listening. He knew what key that was. He knew what it was.
It's a great, great sound, though.
Yeah, it is. Very cool.
Certainly not alone there. Interestingly here, Seth, in 1837, composer Charles Emile Wallethock was born. And then in 1882, composer Joaquin Turnera was born.
Very cool.
It's really hard to read stuff on my darn phone.
That phone
here.
It's
I
so small.
Everybody. And then I wanted to get to this one here, too, because this is pretty interesting. So in 1963, the Supremes album Meet the Supremes was released. It was their first album.
Mm-hmm.
One of the more iconic bands of all time, and certainly one of the greatest R&B bands of all time.
Of course.
I think just bands alone.
Yes.
Then in 1964, top five favorite musicians of all time for me, that sound that you hear right out there is John Coltrane. And the John Coltrane Quartet recorded a Love Supreme.
Yes.
What you hear in the background, the first notes of that classic, classic album. John Coltrane, it wasn't just the notes he was playing. It's the ones he was not playing.
Right, which he learned directly from Miles Davis.
Yep. I don't believe that you will ever hear the kind of chemistry between instruments like when you listen to Miles Davis and John Coltrane.
Yep.
You can name any combination of artists in music history.
Yep.
John and Paul, any of them. I don't think anybody had better chemistry than those two.
And they did not record a ton together.
No,
they were basically their own guys, but the stuff they did together was amazing.
Lifelong friends.
Yes.
Lifelong friends had a kinship to them, and which really saying something, because Miles was James Brown before James Brown.
Yes.
He was, hey, take a look at me. I'm Miles Davis, and you're gonna notice me. You're gonna remember me. John Coltrane, much more quiet.
He was much quiet. Yes. He was more in the background kind of guy. Yeah for
and,
sure.
And I think that their music showed that.
Mm-hmm.
Miles, 7 different types of jazz he created in his lifetime.
Yeah, exactly.
John Coltrane, just so elegant and detailed and genius, but very quieter, very smoother. Wouldn't overtake scene. Not a lot of solos from John Coltrane. Not a lot of that. Just a love.
But when he did his solos, woo, some good stuff.
I would be hard pressed to say what my favorite Coltrane track is, but man, this album, Love Supreme.
Love Supreme is one of the best. If you're gonna, I don't know if I'd start there with him. I'd probably start with Giant Steps, but with
nice reference.
But this is Love Supreme is an amazing album. You are so right. It's one of the jazz standards.
In 1968, The Supremes and the Temptations, TCB, Taking Care of Business Special, aired on NBC TV.
Oh my gosh.
And I've got something kind of cool here. Take a listen to this, everybody. Yeah, it takes a second.
Yes.
Of course.
Of course.
Rowan and Martin's Laugh-In will not be seen tonight in order that we may bring you the following special program. The following program is brought to you in living color on NBC.
60s TV.
Yeah. All live.
I know. It's amazing.
Whatever you
Wow, that is one heck of a dress.
Oh,
the dresses they're wearing in this is woo.
I don't know. People pick on the 70s way too much. They had some style back then, maybe. 60s, late 60s, yeah, yeah. Early 70s mm-hmm. had some style. I would love to see them try to do things like this again. I think
like a special
so
kind of
cool.
thing.
Yeah, they have like different artists coming together and doing specials.
I think that'd be great.
We see some of this stuff.
Just
you know,
a little bit, yeah.
Especially country music does a lot of that kind of
thing.
They
do it a lot
thing.
More than anyone else, yeah.
Yeah, they're really good about it.
Yep.
I'd love to see more of those kind of things. And I thought that I just came across that clip, and I thought that was so cool.
Yes.
Not only did we get the Laugh-In little reference there.
Yeah, that which is always great.
The old CBS kind of
the
stuff.
The old NBC Peacock.
NBC
yep.
Peacock
yep.
and everything. Mm-hmm. Just thought that was pretty cool.
Yes.
In 1971, Richie Havens receives a role in the orchestral stage version of Tommy.
Whoa.
And
I forgot that this was his.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
And then in 72 as well, Tommy was performed at London's Rainbow Theater. The recording of the event was released the next year.
Mm.
In 1974, George Harrison released his first album on his Dark Horse label entitled Dark Horse.
Very apropos.
Nicely done.
Nice.
And I have to mention this one, of course. I couldn't see my father later today if I did not mention in 1978, John Belushi, Dan Aykroyd got together with this silly little bit that they had. They brought in the house band and like, hey, let's do this. Well, what songs do you know? Well, I know this one.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is Joe.
Of course, Garrett Morris here to kick things
with the
off.
Intro, yep.
I mean, what they did with this. Think about this, Seth.
Yep.
How many, like, you had Steve Martin doing King Tut and some things like that. These guys toured. They toured as the Blues Brothers.
They did.
They took these characters on the road with arguably one of the greatest house bands in human history.
Oh, no question in my mind. And that was the genius of this. They picked one of the greatest house bands of all time, the Stax Volt Group. And I mean, and you can tell that's what made the music so great. I mean, John, of course, Dan Aykroyd, a great harmonica player.
Great musician.
Great harp and a great musician, decent singer. John Belushi, heart.
Yeah.
He sang with heart. You could tell he loved the blues and the way he did it. Yep.
John wanted so badly to be able to perform, so much so
yep.
that he got so good at the Joe Cocker impressions. The yep. Joe Cocker loved his impressions, things like that.
Yeah.
And again, a couple of comedians
yep.
get together, do this song just as a bit, just to see what,
yep.
just for some fun, to fill some time. To
I love their dancing too, by the way.
Their dancing was awesome.
Yep.
Their dancing was awesome. These guys were awesome.
On a dusty road, good loving, I got a truckload. And when you get it, you got some.
So Miss Belushi is chewing gum while he's singing.
Yeah.
Hey, you're not supposed to do that.
And I think you're so right about this. Those two. I mean, Dan, not a bad, musician.
Yeah.
John, okay.
Yeah.
But those two try to tour like that, no way. It doesn't sell
yep.
albums. They don't make a movie out of it or whatever.
Yep.
Having that house band.
Oh.
Artists that had been on the Doobie Brothers albums, been
yep.
on, so many of the Motown scene.
We're talking Sam and Dave. We're talking Otis Redding. We're talking, I mean, those were the guys. Duck Dunn, the bassist. You have Steve Cropper, who was one of the co-writers of, like, Sitting on Dock of the Bay. He was an amazing guy himself. You had Matt Guitar Murphy. If you have guitar as a nickname, that means you know what you're a good guitarist. I'm just telling you.
I don't believe you'll ever see anything like that in human history, in music history especially, ever again. We're getting a phone call here. Good morning. Ooh. What's on your mind?
Well, you were reminiscing about old movies and television, and so anyway, I was thinking about when we got our first color television set. It was in the neighborhood, and Rudolph's Red-Nosed Reindeer came in, and I invited all the little kids in the neighborhood to see it, and they lined up the couch and everywhere else.
How cool is that?
Wow.
That is great. Yeah.
That is a great story.
That is a really good one. Thank you so much for calling up and bringing that to us, Nat. We appreciate it. It's always good to hear from you.
I love you guys.
No, love you back, and we appreciate the time. Thank you, Nat. Thank you very much. You call back anytime.
That was awesome.
She's awesome.
If there's a number, if there is a challenger to the Charlie Brown special, it's got to be Rudolph.
Oh, yeah.
When I was a kid, that was my favorite. I think Rudolph was by far my favorite of all of them, of all the specials.
Interesting. That's cool. In 1984, the Jacksons played their last show together in Los Angeles, California.
Oh, wow.
And in 1992, Bill Wyman left the Rolling Stones after 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
In 1993, the music revival of My Fair Lady opened.
Oh, my gosh.
That's a great one.
Yeah.
And then in 1995, the song Free as a Bird debuted on a six-hour ABC documentary on the Beatles. It was the first new song in 25 years.
Mm-hmm.
We've covered this a lot in our rock history show, Seth. It's one of my favorite Beatles songs of all time.
Yep.
For those who don't know, the remaining members, Paul, George, and Ringo, had this kind of song that they had done, that this song was from that when the four were together,
mm-hmm.
they had just never recorded it.
Yep.
So they decided to do this while they were looking for a way to incorporate John in it. John had a voice message back in the day when you could leave your number after the beep.
Very early version, yeah.
But it was John Lennon, so of course he's not going to do it like anybody else would. He had a little bit of a singing and a little bit to mm-hmm. it and everything. They took that, spliced it magically together with some of the greatest production work I think there's ever been done.
Yeah, especially for the 90s. Yeah,
no
kidding.
To incorporate it in here where it sounds like the four of them
yep.
were in the studio together to make this song.
Absolutely remarkable.
Such a good song. And for longtime Beatles fans, there are so many Easter eggs in the music video.
Yes, there are.
In the song itself.
Yep.
and now, with the way things are now, we're never going to get any more music from them. We're not going to get any new music from them. This is it.
This is the last one. Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
You got to love it. You do. Yep.
We are going to go ahead and let this fade us out. We'll come back with some good stories and plenty of more fun to come back here with on Mornings at WFHR, where we are locally grown radio.
Just listen.
Okay. Is that her and Kenny?
That is her and Kenny.
It is Kenny Rogers.
Yeah, it is. Hey. You got it, man.
Hey, I got that one.
Give yourself a bell.
Yeah, I never get the winning bell. Huh? Wow, they sound great.
Yes.
That is a good one.
I knew you'd want a Dolly song in there somewhere, definitely. So I put one in, yeah.
It's funny because it's interesting with her career that she's one of the queens of Christmas,
mm-hmm.
but that's not all that is to her career.
Oh, no, not at all.
Sometimes that seems to be the case. Like, it's almost as if now, like, people forget that Mariah Carey was a pop star. and I don't know if that's a good or a bad thing. That's to each their own. I'm not a huge Mariah Carey fan, so I don't care.
Right, yeah, yeah.
It is kind of interesting, though.
It is kind of interesting, yes.
Maybe not as interesting as this, or maybe it is. This is sort of a That Ain't Right story to us, although if you are a big fan of these, I'm not begrudging you. I'm not a Mickey D's guy, but
yep.
McDonald's released its annual report on the most popular menu items of the year, and the top three were French fries, cheeseburgers, and McChickens. McChickens. Fries were number one in all 50 states.
The fries were number one.
Oh.
That's amazing. Wow. How about that?
But here's a different stat that kind of, leaped out a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Thousands of Americans ate at least 100 Big Macs this year.
That's a lot of Big Macs.
Over 5,000 people have ordered Big Macs or McNuggets at least 100 times.
Wow.
And that's just people who use the app between January 1st and October 6th.
Oh, wow. That's just, they just use the app. That's not telling how many. Yeah, wow.
100 plus in 9 months is around 3 Big Macs a week.
That's a lot of Big Macs.
Now, I'm not at all going to be because I can be a hypocrite at times. I own that.
Yeah.
I am not at all going to get on people about this.
No.
Because if you told me I could have a bacon double cheeseburger every day from Culver's, every day, not just three times a day, every day, yeah, sign me up. I got the napkins. I'm all ready to go. Let's do this. So I'm not going to pick on anybody for this one.
No, no, nor should you. So, no, that's fine.
Here are a few more quick stats from the report. Ketchup is still the most popular condiment. They handed out way more of it than any other sauce, because it's free.
Yeah, know? I'm on one board. The pie council.
Yes.
I need to get on the mustard council because mustard needs some help.
Love.
It needs some love. The mustard needs to be up there, man.
I feel like that about pepper. I don't do it as much anymore, but I used to, as a kid, I used to put pepper on my fries.
Yeah, pepper's good.
Well, everybody always had the salt. I would wait forever to get salt if there was any left by the time it got to me. So I just started trying pepper, and I kind of like it. And even today, I like pepper on fries.
Well, yeah, pepper on fries, like they do over in Europe, vinegar, which is a main ingredient of mustard. So mustard is just a step away from that anyway. So, yeah.
McFlurries are popular even in winter. Dozens of people in Anchorage, Alaska still ordered them on the coldest day of the year in January.
There is no time to eat ice cream.
No,
come
no,
on, let's get it. We're done with that.
Filet of fish sandwiches are very popular in Hawaii. Hawaiians order more per capita than any other state. Maryland is next.
Wow. Two areas right next to water.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah.
In Maryland, there's a lot of seafood too, just because of where they are. And of course, Hawaii Island. Yeah. So that makes sense.
And large group orders are common. And the top day for them is coming up. The day the most groups order this year is January 1st.
Oh, it's January 1st?
Yeah.
I was close to like the 26th, the day after Christmas, maybe. That would be one. Yeah.
Late night orders are big in New York City. New Yorkers were twice as likely to order late night McDonald's compared to the rest of the country.
It is the city that never sleeps.
Yeah.
So they got to do something to fuel that.
And apparently they don't have a Taco Bell. It seems like 90% of Taco Bell sales are after 2 in the morning.
You know, I don't get it. Okay. You live in New York City where there's literally a pizza place on every block. And you get like a slice of pizza for 99 cents. I mean, why eat McDonald's? I mean,
everybody knows what a homer I am. But look, if you want good deli meats, like New York, everybody knows New York.
That's where all the good delis are.
There's
a
billion different foods to try. Why? I find it so hilarious that these conglomerates are so big in bigger cities where you have so many more options, and yet in small towns like ours, the most popular businesses are mom and pop restaurants.
Yeah, like Misty's Menu or something that.
Even to a degree like a Culver's, which I know is the similar to a McDonald's, but not on the same level.
Yeah,
it's interesting.
Well, it's the thing that's great about New York. If you're visiting there, is that you literally any block you pick, you can find an amazing restaurant. The last time I was there, like in 2019, we were in Midtown. That's the hotel we were staying at, and literally on the block we were, it was a walk down restaurant. It was like I think street level is what they call those. Anyway, it was a restaurant that was created by the Iron Chef Miyamoto.
Oh, wow.
You know, the guy that's on the Food Network.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
One of his places. It's just like right around the corner.
Jeez.
The small sign that just says, get your ramen here. It was like a ramen restaurant. I'm like, oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
How cool is that?
you got that. To me, that sounds a lot better than McDonald's.
Yeah, it does. I'm with you totally on that one.
There are days where there are times of night where, only thing that will satisfy your cravings is a greasy burger.
It's true.
I am not at all talking bad about that. But
no.
I'm so with you. Like, if I'm in a big city, I'm trying the different...
The local places, the cool, interesting places. Yeah,
it's interesting. Me too. It is very interesting to me to see how so many of these, like a Starbucks and all these places, that's the one that really gets me. Because, and again, it's nothing against the conglomerates, nothing against Starbucks or any of those things. But, even locally here, we got off the top of my head, 4 or 5 different local coffee shops.
Yeah.
Think about how many they got in New York. Think about how many they got in bigger cities and stuff.
Yeah, seriously.
I would never go to a conglomerate. I would only be going to those places because they have so much more just personality to them. And
character and all these things. Yeah.
And it doesn't cost me a mortgage. I don't have to mortgage my house.
Although, to be fair, in New York, everything's expensive. Except for the pizza. No. Except for the pizza. That's cheap. But
that's
other than that,
point.
Yeah.
That's a fair point. We get to some good stories of the day now. A Frontier Airlines flight from Orlando to Knoxville got canceled on Sunday, so 13 random passengers rented a van together and went on an epic 650-mile road trip. They turns driving and had a blast. There is some really cool video of this, and they look like a hodgepodge family. Everybody had the personality.
The Brady Bunch.
Yeah, there was the moody teenager. There was the this. There was that. Everybody had their own personality and everything.
This could be a new reality show that's coming up here. Yeah, yeah. Rent a van.
I think that's so cool.
Yeah, that's very cool though. I like that.
And so many times we you know, this is again what can happen when we work together.
Oh, it's a great example.
A guy in Australia just returned a library book that was 119 years overdue.
Wow. 19 years.
I don't think I've heard of one that long. Oh. His grandfather checked it out in 1903. It's an early copy of The Great Expectations by Charles Dickens.
Oh, wow.
And it's still in excellent condition. All right. I don't know how many people have read that book or not, but it is kind of funny that the book that was missing was Great Expectations.
Yeah.
If you know that story, that's kind of funny.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
That's pretty on par. That's pretty good. And three more animal rescue stories are in the news. Firefighters saved four horses that fell through the ice on a pond in Montana. They were in the water for about 3 hours, but they're all okay.
Oh, good.
It is like almost must-watch video to me, that video. I cannot get over how they did this.
Wow.
It's tough to get a dog off the ice or out of the water.
Absolutely, yeah. It's very hard.
A horse? Like, it's three of them? That's, man.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I'd be making, put them on a stamp or something, those people.
Commemorative coin.
Yeah. Meanwhile, firefighters saved a deer that fell through the ice on a river in northwest Minnesota.
Nice. Okay.
It was a really cool story. Yeah. And again, excellent video with it. And a puppy in New York pulled free from its collar and jumped in the Hudson River the other day, but he's okay. Boaters couldn't find him in the frigid water, but he eventually turned up on the other side of the river in New Jersey.
Boy, he must have really been desperate.
Got a story to tell you. Oh, that was good. That was well played.
Poor New Jersey. I was picking
on. And all the people that have joined us this week on these airwaves, all of our amazing co-hosts, of course, all of our guests on Morning Magazine, all the people that have joined us on these airwaves here on the morning show. Mm-hmm. We've had a really fun week. We were joined by so many great people. I want to thank every single one of them. Seth, thank you so much for hanging out with us.
Anytime, brother.
And really appreciate all the work that you do production-wise. All these liners, these bumpers, all these great-sounding commercials. You're doing amazing work, man. Keep it up.
Oh, thank you.
And we'll have more morning show for you next Monday. Be sure to join us then for more mornings here at WFHR. Right. Well, you know, Beth, you say it a lot better, and you got to work tonight anyway. So why don't you go ahead and do it?
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248 DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.